Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
Hi, this is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard, and I'm picking Georgia over Ohio State in their game December 31st. BetOnline has free odds and lines available online or on your mobile device. Visit BetOnline.net today.
As prices keep creeping up, your entertainment budget doesn't have to take a hit. Live One Plus has all the music you love, ad-free for only $3.99 per month. Dive into Live One's massive library of songs, listen to curated playlists, or create your own. Check out exclusive artist-hosted stations and do it all for the best price in streaming. Lock in a Live One Plus membership for just $3.99 per month now, and you'll not only beat inflation, you'll get all your favorite music ad-free. Check out liveone.com/bestmusic for details.
Well, happy blanking Columbus Day to you too. Come on.
Well, that's not ideal.
I had a big Columbus Day party all set up, and that just ruined it.
I had notes written down, said things like, good bounce back, and great effort after struggling the other day. And I had to scratch them all out, and now it's just wah, wah.
Good job, good effort.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
That's what is it with 2-0 leads and not being able to hang on to
them? It's the most dangerous lead in hockey.
That's what they say. But it's turned out to be true again.
Some teams do really well with it, though.
Some teams take a knife, jam it in their eye, into their brain, and kill them.
Yeah,
some
that
don't.
Needs to happen.
It happens. It's hard to be upset about anything when it comes to the Blues. You know,
well,
I have to
win
the Stanley Cup
true.
And all, so
yeah,
that's
did.
Good. But damn it.
They also won the faceoff battle.
That's not nothing.
63%, that's good.
There was a lot of good in this game. As Joey said,
the first two periods.
This was actually better than the first two games of the trip, but the Blues lost the game. But if you look at just the way they played, and Craig Berube, I don't know if you're a coach, you take the win, right? You like the win better. But he has to look at this and say, okay, at least we made progress today, as opposed to what we did in Toronto or Ottawa or even Montreal. This was, in general, a better performance. But when you get outshot 18-6 in the third period and you have a 2-0 lead with 5.5 minutes left and you lose the game, it's not great.
No, no. So, and I'm sure anytime you lose a game like this, they're teaching moments, right? That, like, these are the ones where you know that Craig Berube, even though it's early in the season, even though his team played a really long time last year, and you're going to give some leeway. You don't give leeway to stuff like this. You don't give leeway to a game that you have in hand and you let slip away and you get outplayed down the stretch. Like, you have to be able to, and I don't think it's a mental thing. Maybe it's a game plan thing. You're trying to play defensive rather than playing offensive, playing the same style of hockey that got you to that point. You got to be able to make the change. You got to be able to flip the switch.
Yeah, I mean, and what you said earlier is correct. You can't. It's really difficult to be upset with this team just because of what they did a handful of months ago. I mean, it wasn't that long. We had a parade, but still, I think you, when you see stuff like this happen, when you see these 2-0 leads evaporate late, and then you end up taking overtime losses, and that's what's happened both of the times they've taken overtime losses. They've had 2-goal leads. And let them go late, because it's not fun to watch. It's not fun to watch your team, and you think, as you both have mentioned, a really good, strong first couple of periods. That second one, they looked great.
Yep.
That was as well as they have played all season long to date. And you think, okay, this looks good. This is a really great start. This is what we want this team to do. And then the next period rolls around, and they just kind of collapse. I mean, that is not fun to watch. But again, it's really hard to be upset with them.
And you do give some credit to the opposition. The Islanders were a really good team last year, and one of the hallmarks of a Barry Trotz team, and the Blues should know this because he was in the Central Division forever, is that they just don't quit. They always play hard. And that's what happened to the Blues. Is I would have to believe that when they got to 2-0, there was a level of comfort, and Barry Trotz was on the other bench saying, don't quit, don't quit. Keep pounding on the rock. And that's what the Islanders did, and they came away with a victory. Now the Blues come home for 4. And I'm more intrigued by this. How do they handle Vancouver, Montreal, Colorado, and the Kings? The Colorado Avalanche are the only one of those 4 teams that you would say is on par with the Blues so far this season. Vancouver is young and talented and ascending, but they aren't the Blues. And then Montreal, who the Blues saw the other night, the Blues owe them one after the other night. And then a visit to L.A. or a game against L.A. here before visiting Boston for a rematch with the Stanley Cup Finals. But you take 5 of 8. I think most of us would, if you tell us before any four-game road trip in the NHL, you're going to get 5 of a possible 8 points, you probably take it.
Yeah.
The problem is that you had 6 sitting there, right?
Right. Yeah.
You had it.
So like, that's understandable. If you look at a four-game road trip and you see 2-1-1, you're pretty comfortable with that going into it. But when you realize in 2 of those games, you probably should have won them both outright and gotten a couple of points in each of those. That's a whole lot harder to accept, because you never know how much that's going to matter at the end of the season, because we've seen this team get off to a good start before. And this was a couple of years ago, got off to a really good start. It was them and Las Vegas, the two best records in hockey for what, maybe the first month and a half or so?
Mid-December. The Blues had the best record in the league before they went into Buffalo and Schwartz got hurt.
And one of those
Detroit, and he got hurt.
Yeah, and one of those teams went to the playoffs.
Not the Blues.
And that's the thing, is that you don't, anytime you have an opportunity to get an extra point here and there, you don't want to squander it. And that's kind of what happened today.
It happened twice.
It does.
So I have a way too early overreaction, if you guys are ready for that. I don't think Jordan Binnington looks great.
He doesn't.
And he was great last year. He was fantastic. He was awesome. He was the best ever. If you wanted to erect a statue right now with him on it, totally fine with it. He won you a Stanley Cup. He don't look so good, right? There are... This game specifically, okay, third period, there are defensive lapses, certainly, when stuff happens like this. But the Jordan Binnington that I remember from last year, that dude shuts the door.
The first goal that went under his glove, he stops that last year.
Yeah.
There were no bad goals against him. And I think we can all argue that that was a bad goal against Binnington. And I'm with you, BT. I think that... And, hey, before the season, let's start with this. We're only 6 games in.
Do I look nervous? No, Randy.
No. Before the season, there were a lot of people across North America, hockey people, who questioned Binnington. ESPN.com rated the Blues goalie tandem as only the 11th best in the league. But that's part of shutting down the opposition when you have a 2-0 lead, is your goalie has to make those saves, sometimes when he's not supposed to, that save the day.
And, you know, I think it's absolutely fair for anybody, and that includes us, to question whether or not what we saw from him is really him, and if that's what he's going to be for his career. I tend to think, however, that he's probably okay. I think so. I still have a good amount of confidence in him, and it's something that you and I talked about, Randy, a couple of days ago. I think it's because of his attitude. And I guess it's possible that he gets, he has a couple of bad games in a row, and I believe this is the first time in a regular season he's had a game where he's coughed up a late lead. Now, that's something that I don't know if, look, I don't know if it's going to go this way for the rest of his career, but I feel like his confidence level is so high that he should be able to overcome stuff like this. He was able to overcome it in the biggest moments in the playoffs last year. He would have a terrible game, and what would he do? He would follow that game up with a brilliant game. And it happened multiple times on the biggest stage. So I feel like that's what he is. Again, I don't know for sure. I'm just guessing here, and maybe a lot of that is hope, but I still have a good amount of confidence in what he's going to be this season, even if the beginning doesn't look great.
And another interesting thing about Thursday, and you would anticipate that he'll get the start on Thursday against the Canucks, he's lost 2 games in a row. And that happened once last year in the playoffs, and that was the only time he's lost 2 in a row. So how does he respond? He's in danger of losing 3 in a row for the first time in his career.
I would think quite well, honestly. I mean, just from, not like we have a huge sample size on Jordan Binnington, but you'd think that he would respond well. Look, it sucks. It's a couple of games in a row that you'd like to have back. At the end of the day, right now, you're sitting at 8 points tied atop the division. So it is what it is. You have to make adjustments. I wonder, after a disappointing loss like that, how quickly you can snap out of it and realize they're going to the White House today, right?
Yeah, they've already snapped out of
it. Today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow,
okay.
But they're flying to D.C. tonight.
Yeah, so you get in there. They're going to the game tonight too, aren't they? You're going to the baseball game? A lot of the guys at the very least. So, look, you forget about this one. You go back to work. You do the whole presidential thing, which, by the way, it's pretty awesome. Like, political parties, like political anything aside, just the idea of going to the White House, whether you care who's in there or you don't, that's going to be pretty exciting. And maybe it's another one of those things where you do it and you're like, damn, I want to win that Stanley Cup again. Like, this is kind of cool.
And they might get some Shake Shack today or something. Or tomorrow.
They're probably hopping on the bus today.
Yeah, probably.
I've still never had Shake Shack.
Oh, my God, it's good.
I heard it's great. Well, don't they have those crinkle-cut fries,
they do.
Too?
Yeah.
Those You're going to love good. It.
That was going to be part of my Columbus Day celebration that has been just thwarted.
Shake Shack was?
Oh, yeah, I was going to get Shake Shack. And
did he discover Shake Shack?
No, Danny Meyer, St. Louisan, developed Shake Shack. How about that?
Because he was inspired by Columbus? I'm just trying to draw the connection here. Why Shake Shack was
Oh, because
be
you brought
celebration.
It up.
Oh. That happens.
That was going to be it. Yeah.
That's all right. Get something else.
It's a bad weekend.
It's probably too late now, right?
We get a very good text message in, by the way. The Hot Shots text line 65780 said, look, it's a long season. This is talking about Jordan Binnington, I'm assuming. Long season. He's human. Maybe he had to poop. Big game. He'll shut it down. So he's right.
Valid.
Could you imagine being back there and having to go number two? Like, we got to get
You're
this over with, boys.
You're distracted, are you? You're
Sorry,
distracted.
Guys. But if you don't score, this one's going in because one's got to go out. You know what I mean?
I can totally get that.
How many jobs on earth would it be worse than being a goaltender and having to poop real
it's
bad?
It's a short list.
Yeah.
6 5 7 8
Like air traffic
if you've
controller
got one.
Is probably bad.
Nah, but you that's know, still in a tower. Like, that can be
Yeah,
can
but
be
what, you can't leave.
Yeah.
I mean, you got an important job.
You do.
You can't leave to Deuce.
Mall Santa, I think, is up there.
Oh, you could, you can say, I'll be right back and put up the sign 15 minutes.
Sometimes you got to go.
I don't know.
Home plate umpire.
That's a bad one.
That would be really bad.
Yeah, you aren't going anywhere, right?
Nope.
Everybody sees you.
Yeah.
From that angle.
Exactly.
So I just thought it was a very salient point. Never know what somebody's going through on a given day.
It's true. Great point.
What else? Mike Ryder, he can't leave to go poop.
No, he can't.
Which actually was a real trouble. So Mike Ryder is our board operator
here. Oh, that's
here.
Right.
So all the great stuff that you hear is all because of Mike Ryder. He's fantastic. He's unbelievable. He's awesome. But he went on a trip to Mexico a couple of, probably about a month or so ago. And for a few weeks, he didn't really trust himself, if you know what I mean. There were a couple of times where you look over and he's squirming a little bit. And I'd whisper in his ear, you okay? And he'd say, not really. So, yeah, I can see that. That's a tough one.
Here's a texter who says, I work in plumbing, so in 90% of my job sites, you can't use the facilities.
Oh.
That's a great point.
See, and I think that the common thought would be like, oh, that's an easy one. You're a plumber. But you're not generally showing up to sites that are cool. Yeah.
Can you knock on the neighbor's door?
I got to fix this really fast. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. BT Ronge and Randy. Blues fall 3-2 in overtime on Long Island. Coming up, would you bet against Jack Flaherty? Talk about it next on 101 ESPN. So what we've done is pitch, but we just haven't hit. So we've done 50% of the things we wanted to do. That's Cardinals skipper Mike Schilt, the Cardinals and the Nationals, game 3 tonight at Nationals Ballpark in D.C. And, of course, you'll hear that here on 101 ESPN with the pregame coming your way at 5:30. 5:30 is pregame time. The Cardinals will pitch Jack Flaherty. Guys, the Redbirds have scored 0 runs or 1 run in these two games, 0 runs in game 1, 1 run in game 2. In Jack Flaherty's last 18 starts, in 14 of those, he has allowed 0 or 1 runs. So the goal has to be to get a run on the board against Steven Strasburg.
Was it a run? Yeah, we started this, or we went into break asking the question if you have confidence in Jack Flaherty.
Or no, it was would you bet against
or
him?
Or would you bet against him? Him? No.
The under? Yes.
Yes, that's different. I would not bet against him, but he is, like you said, only half the equation. Would I bet against this offense with Strasburg pitching? I might.
So the interesting part, too, when you go and everybody most likely watched these games and saw little offense. I mean, four hits and a run, and the run was gifted to you on a Michael A. Taylor misplay on a ball off the bat of Jose Martinez. So, I mean, really, count the run because the run counted, but
right.
Yeah, not much has been happening. But it's not like the Cardinals are flailing and swinging just like outside the zone a lot. It's not like they're chasing a ton. They're just getting beat up on. Scherzer, and nobody cares about the shadows at this point, Scherzer was unhittable. Like, it wasn't going to happen. Because look at the flip side. Look what Adam Wainwright was able to do. He was great as well. But the problem with it was it's not an isolated incident. So if you were able to get to Anibal Sanchez the day before, nobody, you just chalk it up to you got Scherzer and it is what it is. But right now, the Cardinals need to figure out something, somehow, some way to get on base, to get moving. When they do get on base, you need to steal bases. You need to get yourself into scoring position, because stringing together hits against Steven Strasburg is not going to be easy to do. And I love the idea still of trying to get into the bullpen, and that's their weak spot. These guys have been shoving against you, you know? So at this point, I don't want to be up there working counts necessarily. I don't want to be up there making him work. I want to see something up in the zone, and I want them to be able to drive it. And it's easier said than done. These guys are absolute animals. But you got a beast on the mound, too. Like, you have your guy. You realize that if you chalk up a couple of runs, and that is saying a lot at this point, I get it, that you feel like you should be able to win this ball game. Hopefully the small changes that they're making are going to help.
The Cardinals, by the way, 4-for-57 in the NLCS. Half of those hits belong to Jose Martinez, who is in the lineup tonight. It's Fowler, Wong, Goldie, Ozuna, Molina, Martinez, and then Edmund hitting 7th, DeJong 8th, and Flaherty 9th.
Well, a lot of guys in this series obviously are not doing much of anything. And what one of the most important points to remember is they need their two big guys in the order. And that means Marcell Ozuna and Paul Goldschmidt, they've got to be they have to be active. They have to be part of this. That's the reason they were brought here. It was not just to get them to the postseason, but once the playoffs roll around, they're supposed to be a big part of the offense. And at least in this series, the two of them have not done anything. And you're going to need that. One of the things that's working against them, however, is, and I know you guys have probably followed along over the weekend, all the speculation that maybe this baseball being used in the postseason is different than the one that was being used in the regular season, because not only are home runs down, but they're down considerably from where they typically are through the playoffs at this point. Even Mike Schilt's talking about it. It was either yesterday or Saturday that balls that are hit in the way they have been hit, according to the Cardinals analytics department, are traveling at like 4.5 feet less than they typically would. So you're not getting the home run offense either. It's difficult right now to get a guy on base and hit a two-run homer. It just isn't happening to the degree it usually does.
I do believe, though, that aspect there, if it is in fact true, and at least the analytics, I do believe are true, whether that's the cold air that's suppressing it or, look, the balls are getting hit a little bit different or the balls are different themselves, I really think that should play into the Cardinals' hand more than it does the Nationals. The Nationals can bang. I mean, they can hit some home runs. They got some monsters. And the Cardinals, they didn't win games like that. They had a handful of games throughout the year. You look at them like, oh, yeah, it was because of the long ball. Overall, that really wasn't the offense for them. They were at the bottom of the pack as far as home runs go in the National League. I feel like that should be able to help. Like, it just goes back to the small ball aspect of it. But the problem with playing small ball is to get a guy over and get him in, you have to, in fact, have him on. And on has been a big-time problem.
And that's the thing. The Cardinals have been, so far in these playoffs, the worst on-base team. And second best has been the Nationals. They haven't been slugging, like you said. I mean, I think they're in the lower parts of slugging of all the other teams. But they're getting on base. They're consistently putting together rallies. And that's how they're scoring runs.
They've scored four. They scored one in the opener, and then they scored one
in this series. I'm talking about the entire playoffs.
Yeah. But it's not like they're lighting it up either in this series.
The Cardinals pitching has been so good. And I understand, again, if you don't want to hear that, you don't care about it, who cares? Michaelis and Wainwright did everything they could possibly do. Now, if you want to go back and you want to, second guess Mike Schilt leaving Adam Wainwright in there to face Adam Eaton. Randy, you have a question?
Yes. Why was Adam Wainwright pitching and not Andrew Miller against the left-handed hitter?
It's a great question, Randy. A couple of things. First of all, that inning, I think I'd gone to Miller there for this. I would have let him face the first two batters, exactly how that played out. I'm not sure I would have wanted to see him face Eaton there when you do have Andrew Miller, who's been your best piece in the bullpen. I understand that one. I get it. Now, I will say this about the decision. The pitch count was still down. I mean, it was still okay. And Eaton looked way off balance against Adam Wainwright every at-bat. Adam even talked about it after the game. Adam Eaton talked about it after the game. He said that every time I thought I knew what was coming, it ended up being the opposite. He just got to a count in that there where it was 3-2, and he knew that Adam Wainwright was going to throw the curveball because, I mean, that's what Adam
said. He went
throw.
George Costanza.
Yeah, he
on
did.
It.
Went opposite, right?
Opposite day.
Yeah, exactly. And he knew that Adam had to throw for a strike and hooked it down the line. Another interesting aspect of that is why wasn't Goldie pinching the line?
Yeah.
Like, so if you know that, especially in a breaking ball count, why aren't you up the line so you stop that one? I understand that one. I'm with you on that. But I still think ultimately, I don't think it matters. If you can't score runs, it is what it is. But that did feel like a dagger.
Well,
it
see,
really
and this is why, maybe this is unfair for Mike Schilt, but this is the job. If your offense is doing it the way they're doing it now, at least in this series, and really, with the exception of Game 5, it hasn't been an awesome offense. I mean, they've had a handful of games where they've scored runs, but he's going to have to be pretty close to perfect in his decision-making. Mm-hmm. Every button he pushes with the offense performing the way it is going to have to be the right button. And again, maybe that's not fair because his offense should be doing something and not forcing him into these situations, but he can't make a whole lot of mistakes now. Tonight's going to have to be a pretty mistake-free game from him.
And even though I totally get the randomness of the postseason, and the statistic is 70 of 83 times the team that has taken a 2-0 lead has gone on to win it. Even if the Cardinals would come back to win this series, I don't see the Cardinals or the Nationals beating the Astros or the Yankees.
This is going to feel weird to say. I could see the Nationals beating.
I could too.
Because I think that their pitching, I know their pitching is good enough, mm-hmm. and the offense is a lot better than the Cardinals than it's been against the Cardinals. I think that they can bang. I think they're a really good team.
I agree that they're really good. The thing is, if you get into a series and you have to win four games where Verlander and Cole start.
That's tough.
Yeah.
But, beating Scherzer and Strasburg is tough, too.
That'd be epic, wouldn't it?
It'd be great. I mean, not as good as Cardinals-Yankees. I'd rather see Cardinals-Yankees
Cardinals-Yankees, I think that'd
Astros
be the one.
And Nationals.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Tonight's going to be fun. It's always fun. You got to get, as Mike Schilt said, you got to get one first before you get to four. And they're in a hole. This team has had their ups and downs throughout the year. They've had an offense that's been wildly inconsistent, yet they continue to figure out ways to get the job done. As maddening as it is, and I was trying to remind myself of this over the weekend, watching the games, talking about it on the postgame show, is we've seen this stuff. Like, we've seen it happen, and what are we doing right now? We're talking about it in the NLCS. So until it's over, I'm going to believe that they can get there and they can get it done.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, BT, Ronge, and Randy. We're going to visit with our Blues insider from The Athletic, Jeremy Rutherford, about today's 3-2 overtime loss in New York. JR is next on 101 ESPN. Jeremy Rutherford is in New York. He's going to join us in just a moment. Actually, he's going to join us right now on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. He is our Blues insider from The Athletic, and we appreciate you getting some good cell service, JR. How you doing?
We are. How you guys doing?
Everything's great. We hope that we know this is going to be a strong start to this segment. We hope that it's strong throughout. We hope you.
Damn it, Randy.
What?
Yeah, are you doing what I think you're doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
You
go ahead, JR.
You think it's funny?
Yeah, I do. What happened, JR?
Honestly, I kind of hope he falls apart in the final third of this interview.
Oh, man.
What? Sorry.
We're taking shots.
JR's not going to fall apart. But seriously, what happened, man?
They fell apart, guys. They fell apart. And I'm going to be good here for about 8 minutes, and then we'll see if I can fall apart. They, you know, they just didn't execute in a couple different areas. One, the power play. You get the 2-0 lead. You got a chance to add to it. And while the power play did score earlier, it just didn't look good. It didn't look like a team that wanted to put that game away. And then also we saw some defensive miscues clearing the puck. And that doesn't mean just the defenseman. You had two situations. The first one, Jaden Schwartz at the blue line, can't get it out, you know, backhanded, behind the back, clearing attempt, and it doesn't work, stays in the zone, and the Islanders score. And then Colton Parayko, you got a chance too. You know, you don't like icing in that situation. The puck comes in a faceoff, you know, after the whistle, and they could score there too. I get it. But in that situation, you got to be harder on the clearing attempt. Colton Parayko wasn't, and they knotted up. So a terrible loss. It's early in the season. You get a point. But to have another 2-0 lead, which was a problem last year, and lose the game is disappointing.
So do you think that is a thing with the Blues, the 2-0 lead and then blowing it late, or is it simply coincidence?
I would say coincidence for now. I can't remember the number last year. There was double-digit situations where they had the 2-0 lead and lost it. You've had it twice this year. The other one was opening night against the Capitals. You get the point in overtime. You know, I'm not ready to say that it's going to be a trend again this year. To me, the Blues just didn't play well. And, you know, it was a different game than the Montreal game for sure. I mean, this is a game that, you know, they dominated, played very well for 50, 55 minutes, did the things that they want to do. I thought in terms of, you know, recovering from that Montreal game, it was terrific. But, you know, you're at the end of this four-game, 10-day road trip, and it's not over yet. They're going to fly to D.C. tonight and I think go to the Cardinals game, and then tomorrow they have their White House visit. It's the end of a long trip, and to me it just looked like 2-0 with 5 minutes to go. They were ready to grab their bags and leave, and the game wasn't over yet.
Our Blues insider from The Athletic, Jeremy Rutherford, joining us on 101 ESPN. JR, we are well aware of the fact that you have a tremendous command of the English language. You are an unparalleled wordsmith. So I have a question for you, because it's been written multiple ways. Apparently, the Cardinal pitching coach, Mike Maddux, had a hole in one on two separate occasions today. Did he have two holes in one or two hole in ones?
Oh, gosh. Was this a meetup earlier? Sorry, guys. I listen to the show all the time, but I didn't catch it. I'm going to go with two holes in one.
That's what I think that's right. I think it's holes in one.
I think so. Yeah. I would go holes in one also. A lot of people said hole in ones.
It's like attorneys general.
Hole exactly, in ones yeah. doesn't sound right.
Or times out. Or timeouts. Yeah.
How many hole in ones have you had, JR?
How many timeouts?
No, not timeouts. Yes. Have you ever had a hole in one?
I have not. I have not even, you know, I don't think I've ever put the ball on the green.
Maddux apparently has had a half a dozen, cousin.
Must be nice.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And he was with John Mozeliak today, by the way. I just wanted to get that out of the way.
No, that was a good question.
Thank you. Let's get back to hockey for a moment. It's good to see Vladimir Tarasenko break the ice for this season with his first goal of the year.
It is. And, you know, you give these players, the stars like Tarasenko, a little bit of leeway. I know a couple of games into the season people were wondering where he was at. And, you know, I asked Craig Berube about it, and he said he needs to be skating better. And, you know, I think he did that. Game three started to look a little bit better, but he's got to score, and this was the longest drought to start a season for him without scoring until today. But you can't score, Randy, unless you shoot the puck. He didn't have any shots on goal against Montreal. That ended a long string, 160-plus games without a shot on goal. It looked a little bit better today, that wrist shot on the power play, that type of thing you like to see from Tarasenko lining up on that strong side of his on that power play. So they got to get him going. You know, Braden Chen's doing a lot of stuff on that line, but they're going to need Schwartz and Tarasenko to score. I thought today was a step in the right direction for Tarasenko.
JR, as you mentioned, obviously still very early in the campaign, six games being played. Have there been any trends, and these trends could be a positive one that you've seen or maybe an alarming one. Has there been anything in the six games so far that you looked at and say, all right, well, this really stands out to me?
Yeah, positive one, and then I'll give you a negative one. The positive one is Braden Schenn signs the $52 million contract. We talked the past couple months about would he be back. I didn't know that it was going to be possible. I didn't ever envision him signing an eight-year deal, you know, to get that term to lower that AAV. But they get the deal done, and he's been terrific. He's now got a goal in five straight games and, you know, is playing like the player you expect him to. Like I said, they got to get that the other guys going. But then defensively, to me, is the trend that sticks out that you don't like. I mean, this is a great defense. They bring back all seven.
That's
guys
kind of the eye test. Jose Martinez, two for two. It's a good hitter. Matt Carpenter sits down.
I mean, this defense should just be outstanding. And we're not talking about just one or two games where we've seen it so far. We've seen multiple games where the awareness and the execution and the coverage just isn't there. In Montreal, you saw Colton Parayko, who I think last playoff put him on the map as an all-world defenseman, just not there on a couple of occasions. And then today, the failed clearing attempt. And, you know, it's not just Parayko, some others too. So to me, the defensive awareness, execution, coverage is a trend that I don't think looks good in the early going.
What do you think about Jordan Binnington? He's going to be okay, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think in the games that he's given up a couple goals that you scratch your head a little bit at, he's also made a ton of good saves, you know, to keep him into the game. At that point, you know, the one today, short side there, I think, what was that, the tying goal? Maybe it was the first one. He's got to be better in that area, you know. So I think there's been a couple goals early on this year, Ronj, that, you know, last year you think he would have stopped, and we weren't used to seeing this from Jordan Binnington. But, you know, I got to stress here, and I'm not saying that this plays into these particular goals, but regardless of what he did last year, becoming a number one for a full season, the mental grind that it takes, the rigors, I've talked to a bunch of them, the Jake Allens, the Ben Bishops, I've talked to a bunch of number one goalies. It's a completely different mindset to know that you have to be ready every game. And he was that way the second half of last season, but we're talking about 30 games. This is 82. He won't play them all. It's a different mindset. He's got to learn to bounce back after each one. Last year, that was his number one trait to be able to do that. We got to see if he can do that again this year.
Jeremy Rutherford with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And JR, you mentioned that the Blues are coming off of a long road trip and now a long homestand. Hopefully they'll be able to take advantage of the home cooking for the next week and a half.
Yeah, just the two games before they went on this long road trip. And like I said, it's not over yet. I know that they don't play any more games on the road. But, Randy, they will stop in D.C. tonight. I think they got a suite for the Cardinal game. They're going to cheer them on. And then tomorrow, I'm actually going to be there on the flight to D.C. for the White House visit. I think that's at about 2 in the afternoon. They'll get their picture taken. I believe it's in the Rose Garden area. And then they'll finally be on their way home, have the day off on Wednesday, and then host the Canucks on Thursday night. So, you know, I think we've got a decent feel for how this team looks early on. You know, I don't think we can pick up on many major trends yet or, you know, say they're going to get through the Stanley Cup hangover or this is a team that won't be able to contend for these three reasons. You know, I think everybody felt like this is the type of start that we were going to see. The Blues are going to be pretty decent, but there was going to be some question marks. And, you know, you get home and you get a chance to work on those and do it in front of your fans for a little while. So all in all, you hate to see the finish this morning or this day game here, but I think the road trip, pretty positive one for the Blues considering everything they did on that trip.
JR, I know, as you mentioned on this trip, long time out, a lot of games, they've been busy, and maybe they haven't had a chance to think about it too often, but have you had a chance to catch up with any of the guys about the trip to the White House? I mean, political sides aside, whatever you're into, whatever you're not, who cares? I mean, it's still a big deal to go there. Are the guys excited about this?
Yeah, and, you know, it's pretty unique. Some people have wondered and asked the Blues, are there any people that aren't going, anybody taking a stance against the administration? And the Blues said no, that all the guys are going. And so I talked to a number of individuals, and I'll probably on this in an article that I write after the White House visit. But they're all unified. They all look at this, BT, as an unbelievable opportunity to see something likely most of them have never seen and may never see again. So they don't want to pass this up because of political views. You know, they went to the Hockey Hall of Fame the other day to donate a ring, and every single player on the team was there. The Hall of Fame said that was the first time that that's ever happened. And so I asked Jake Allen about that and about going to the White House, and he said, we're a unified group. And even he said that he got 19 Canadians on the team, I think. He said a lot of them aren't even American citizens, but they really see the value in going tomorrow to the White House. So no problems. And it seems like because there's not an issue with that and because guys aren't stepping away and taking a stance on it, that it's really become a non-story here.
I just want to know what's going to be on the menu and if you get to have any of it.
Hey, that's the number one thing I've been thinking about, too. So I'll let you know tomorrow when I talk to you guys.
And also, I've done an extensive Google search while we've been doing this interview here.
I knew you weren't listening.
No, yeah, right. The instances of holes in one is far greater than everything else.
There you go.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So it's holes in one, not hole in ones.
Right. Thank you, Rich.
You wanted to know, Randy.
And now we do via radio.
I got you information.
JR, safe travels, have fun, and we will see you Thursday night over at the rink.
Yeah, we'll do it. Thanks, Randy.
That is our Blues insider, Jeremy Rutherford from The Athletic, joining us here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. It's Monday. Happy Columbus Day, everyone. What did you do with your Columbus Day, Ranj?
I got lost on the way here.
Somebody said, happy Columbus Day, go out and steal something.
Well, yeah. Or get lost on your way to work.
Could happen.
Hey. Then act like you're found.
I'm in Korea.
This is where I meant to be.
Sir, you're in Chesterfield.
What?
Is this Korea Corps?
No, you're not.
Anyway, we've got a new fighter coming your way next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN.
Meet
BT.
What are we fighting over today? We've got tickets to see Ron White, the Ron White Show at Stifel Theater on Friday, March 20th.
Really?
Yeah. Get you a scotch and a cigar.
Yeah, get a cocktail. You're good to go.
Tater salad.
Do you think they still still travel together? The blue collar?
I don't know. Probably not.
I don't know.
Jeff Foxworthy.
Get together. I like that. Let's bring in today's fighter. It's Chris. Chris, what's happening?
Hey, not too much, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No, man, thank you for fighting. You ready to take on Megamind?
Oh, I'm ready. I got a lot of guys listening, so I'll try not to let them down.
All right, don't let them down.
What happens if you lose?
I have no punishment at the moment, but I'm sure they'll figure something out.
They'll probably. If they're friends like my friends are, they're at the very least, they'll verbally berate you. So
exactly. Yep.
At least, you know what, make it respectable. Just do that.
Yeah, he can do that. Right. I think he can do that. All right, Chris, here we go. Question number one. The record for career home runs hit in the LCS is 13. Who owns that record? Is it Albert Pujols, Miguel Cabrera, or Manny Ramirez?
Manny Ramirez.
Question number two. On this date in 2015, Jose Bautista had an epic bat flip against which team in the ALDS? Was it the Astros, the Rangers, or the Yankees?
The Astros.
Question number three, Chris. Carlos Correa became the second player in postseason history with multiple walk-off hits against the same opponent. Who is the only other player to accomplish that? Is it Reggie Jackson, David Ortiz, or Carlos Beltran?
Reggie Jackson.
And question number four, the Nationals' first season in D.C. was in 2005. Since then, has the team picked up what?
What?
I didn't read this
first. I had to rush to this one.
What is this supposed
to say? Which one have they won more of?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Since they... I should read stuff.
What in the hell?
All right, since they moved to D.C. in 2005... Which award have they won more of? More MVP awards or Cy Young awards on their team? You have two options. It's Cy Young or MVP.
Cy Young.
Okay, let's bring in Randy.
I was in a hurry. I had a question that didn't...
We were hanging out in the office for a long time.
I had a question that didn't work out. I found an error in it, shocker, last minute, so I had to Omaha.
All right, did you bring in Randy?
We're working on it.
All right. Okay, no, that's good. Chris, how you feeling?
Not great at all.
Okay.
You're going to be all right.
I think you're going to be just fine. That last one was a good one. So that was, I like that. I like it when Meat makes up questions very late.
Yeah.
Those are
like
my
favorite. He's scrambling, it's the best.
Yeah.
Why do you got to look at me like that? Stop staring. You're just...
No, you did good. Just,
thanks.
Yeah,
thanks,
you
guys.
Did a really nice
Came
thanks,
up with
guys.
Four questions. Hey, Randy.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Say hi to Chris.
Hey, Chris. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How you doing, Randy?
Everything's great. Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing.
All right, Randy. Here we go. Okay. Question number one. The record for career home runs hit in the LCS is 13. Who owns that record?
I think I will... 13. Had to play in a lot of them, I guess, to hit 13. I think I'll go with Manny.
Question two. On this date, in 2015, Jose Bautista had an epic bat flip against what team in the NLDS?
We were watching that here in the studio. That was against the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, ALDS, Ranj.
Oh, I'm sorry, whatever.
Idiot. Question number three, Randy.
Yes.
Carlos Correa became the second player in postseason history with multiple walk-off hits against the same opponent.
Hmm.
Who is the only other player to accomplish that?
Since I don't know the answer, I will I'll use the lifeline here.
You've got Reggie Jackson,
okay.
David Ortiz, or Carlos Beltran?
I'm going to go with Poppy.
And question number four, Randy. The Nationals' first season in D.C. was in 2005. Okay. Since then, Randy, mm-hmm. has the team picked up more MVP awards or Cy Young awards?
Well, let's see. They've had Harper. I don't think Soriano won his MVP with... He was 40-40. Maybe he did. And they've had... they don't have an MVP yet this year with Rendon. Meanwhile, they have had Scherzer with at least, I think, only one. I'm going to go, this is an interesting and a good quality question, Meat.
Thank you, Randy.
Yeah, I'll go MVPs.
Now read it the way it was intended to be written.
No, I did.
He did.
Oh,
you did?
Okay.
Yeah. As is.
Right.
It threw me off the first time. We got a winner, by the way. Chris, he got you, but it was close. 3-2. It is Manny Ramirez. Had 13 home runs in the LCS. That is a record. It was the Rangers that Jose Bautista, he got punched in the face by also.
Rougned Odor.
But that was the big the bat flip. The bat flip was pretty awesome.
It was great.
It was great.
Perfect context and everything. Yep.
Yes, everything about it was excellent, except for the punch in the face that ended up following. It is David Ortiz. David Ortiz had consecutive games against the Yankees in the 04 ALCS where he walked it off. Carlos Correa with a big walk-off last night. It's happened twice now against the Yanks. And it is Cy Young Awards that the Nationals have more of. They got two of them. Both are that guy, old brown eye Max Scherzer.
All right.
So, Chris, thanks for playing, man. Try again.
All right. Respectable is what I was looking for.
See?
Good job,
you
Chris.
You did it.
I appreciate it, guys.
Sometimes our texters are wonderful.
What'd they say?
We got a texter that says,
all times.
Meat scrambles like Peyton Manning, slow and clumsy.
Peyton was a winner, though.
He was a winner.
He was a winner. He's a guy you want on your team. Tell you that.
But,
that's what I'm saying. We need another
particular
comp.
Yeah. But he does scramble.
You don't need
slow
to run the ball when you pass for 350 yards a game, Ranj. That's what Peyton did.
The man's got a point, though.
I would say that the Chiefs could use somebody running the ball at the moment.
Really?
Oh, me, you went to the game again this weekend, didn't you? My goodness.
Yeah.
Talk to us about it really fast. How was it?
It was awesome for the first quarter.
Was it?
It was 17-3. I went to get a beer, and I came back, and it was 17-16.
What happened?
I don't know.
How was the tailgating?
The tailgating was great.
That's all you really worry
about. Are you invited back?
Of course. I'm going over Thursday night for the Thursday night game, Chiefs at Denver. Gonna make some food, have some football, get a win.
Yeah, three things are probably gonna happen. Right?
Which one's not?
You have
probably
to provide.
Win. You're
the
mush now.
Don't you have to provide the beer next time?
No, I don't have to provide
the
beer.
That's what the wing nuts texted
in. No, yeah. I don't have any proof of this. If we can get some proof, then I'll bring the beer.
I'll find the text. I saw the text.
Yeah.
Yep.
We have game number three between the Cards and Nationals tonight. The pregame coming your way at 5:30 here on 101 ESPN. First pitch at 6. And Anthony Stalter will be in for our postgame programming here on 101 ESPN. So you'll want to tune in, text in, call in, and join Anthony for the postgame show after the Cards and Nationals game three tonight. Coming up in the fast lane, we've got the latest on game three with our Cardinal insider Mark Saxon. He's in D.C., and he's up next on 101 ESPN. Mark Saxon writes for The Athletic. He's our Cardinal insider here on 101 ESPN. And he's with us from D.C. on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line on 101 ESPN. Mark, good to have you with us. How are you doing today?
Doing great. What do you guys think? Is it holes in one or hole in one?
We've determined holes in one.
Yeah. Holes in one, for sure.
Gotta be, right? I just had that debate with Annie Rogers of MLB.com. She was
staunchly defending hole-in-ones. You can't have more than one ones. It's singular.
Come exactly. On. Now, you tweeted this. It's the story of the day. The Cardinal pitching coach, Mike Maddox, had two holes in one today as the Cardinals prepare to play game three against the Nationals. I am going to be old school, get off my lawn guy. Oh, why isn't he concentrating on getting ready for this game?
Oh, my goodness. I would not have pegged you as the guy who was taking that. First of all, he's probably not gonna throw any pitches in this game where they could be in trouble, right? Because he's 55, 60 years old. So that's the first thing. Second of all, he was playing with Mo, John Mozeliak, and he said two admirals, I guess, who he knew from his days in D.C. That's the only way you get on this course. Apparently, it's like a country club for top ranking military guys. But how incredibly hard to believe is that, by the way? 67 million to one is what they said. And he is a good golfer, though. I guess for me it would probably be 167 million to one.
Saxy, my thought is I kind of want to put him in the lineup if he's striking the ball that well. Like, that's where I'm leaning.
So, that's not bad, actually.
Right? Yeah, get him in there. So we all know what the issues have been, man. It's been two games. It's been four hits. It's been one run that was essentially gifted to them with Michael A. Taylor misplaying a ball off the bat of Jose Martinez. They shuffle it up a little bit. Jose's in there. The idea, right, they got to be able to spark something. Maybe Jose can do that?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, he's had great at-bats, right? That at-bat the other day was just fantastic. Fouled a bunch of pitches off, and he did crush that ball. You're right, he did misplay it. Michael A. Taylor did, But he's just a good hitter, I think. And the idea is, they need a guy who can make a little more solid contact. You look at that Scherzer game, they hit two balls out of the infield when he was in the game. So this is a pretty deep funk we're talking about here. And when you really look at it, they've scored one run or zero in, what is it, out of the playoff games, several of these games now. It's not just these two. There were three games in that Atlanta series where they didn't have great at-bats. So, it's kind of been the issue all year. The pitching has been great. The defense has been great. But you got to score more than zero or one runs to win consistently. And if one small change can kind of stir the pot a little bit and get that going, that's good. But, I think also we just need to see, top to bottom better at bat. And sometimes a change of venue can do that, certainly seeing different pitching. But, it's kind of desperation time now.
Yeah, and the Cardinals, as you mentioned, are desperate to get some offense. And when the lineup came out today, there was quite a bit of, if you're following along Twitter, quite a bit of consternation about Dexter Fowler being in the leadoff spot again. But Mike Shildt addressed that today, correct?
Yeah, he did. And I think he didn't want to kind of have wholesale, lineup changes for one game. They do have to kind of stick with a formula that looked really good most of the second half, right? They were better and more consistent in the second half. And I think that, you don't want to sacrifice too much defense either. We've seen in some of these playoff games, nationwide, we've seen how one play can really be the difference. So, including in right field, by the way. But again, you gotta inject a little bit of offense, and this is the one thing that they did.
We know that's got to get figured out. I wonder this though, because offense is going to be hard to come by just in general. And we know what this offense has been. Steven Strasburg is flat out nasty. If they do get guys on, do you think that Mike Shildt is going to be more inclined to take a lot more chances on the base pass, like to try to get somebody into scoring position as quickly as possible, try to swipe some bags, maybe some hit and runs?
Yeah, I do think that they're going to do that. I think in fact, that would have been the plan all along, against the Nationals. They do have some issues, with that. They haven't been the greatest team in terms of suppressing running games. And I think the Cardinals think they can press that advantage. The problem is when nobody's getting on base, that's hard to do. So the first thing I think they need to be more patient. We've seen a lot of these starting pitchers, go through a start without walking anyone. And that's not putting really any pressure on either the defense or the pitcher. So I think they need to be more selective. And I think if they can draw a walk or two off Strasburg, not that he's given them out a lot, but if they can do that, you could see them you know, push an advantage that they've had all year. They were second in the league in stolen bases. They were, by a lot of accounts, maybe the best base running team in the National League. And that's kind of what people expect. We hadn't seen it for years before that, but this team did that. And I do think they view that as an advantage. But again, first you got to make it on base, and we'll see if they can do that.
What do you think the difficulty has been for them? Yes, they faced really good pitching, but it does seem like the at-bats they've taken in this series, well, certainly the results haven't been there. They have not gotten on base. Do you think it's just a function of the good pitching they faced? Is it really all about that, or is it something they are not doing that they need to be doing to get on base?
You know, Ranjay, I think what happens this time of year is you face almost nothing but great pitching, right? And so the guys who get exposed are the guys who are just not flat out, you know, well-rounded, great hitters. And it's incredibly hard to do. I want people to understand that. Matt Carpenter the other night was talking about, as a hitter in this league, you've got to kind of be one or the other. You're either looking for the fastball, you're a good fastball hitter, or you're sort of more inclined to be a good breaking ball hitter. And I think we see too many hitters in this particular lineup who just can't kind of cover both of those possibilities very well. And there are a couple who can, two or three who can, maybe more, maybe four who can. And that, I think I would put Jose Martinez in that category, Paul Goldschmidt, Marcelo Zuna, and actually Yadier Molina. Other than that, you have guys who really struggle against, you know, good breaking balls. I mean, if they leave one up or hang one, these guys can hit them, but really good breaking balls have really been their poison. So, you know, I just think it's a function of not having quite enough just pure kind of freakishly good hitters in the lineup, which is hard to find. I mean, those guys are expensive, and this team, for whatever reason, hasn't really developed those type of guys in a while. And so we'll see. You know, I think I really think that's the issue, just not having kind of that elite level of hitter, you know, that hitting depth in the lineup.
Mark, what should we expect from Jack Flaherty? Anything different than we've seen over the course of the second half of the season?
No, I mean, you guys, we've all been watching him, right? And he's looked no different to me in these postseason games than he did in the regular season, which is why you think tonight they got a pretty good shot, even though, you know, as Brad pointed out, Strasburg is an amazing pitcher. But I think, you know, I would say that this is a good opportunity for the Cardinals to steal one on the road, because Jack has just been so good. Lights out, right? I mean, he did give up the three in Atlanta, but he was staring at a 1-0 deficit until, what, the seventh inning? So, no, I think again, just scrape a couple runs across, you got a great chance tonight. I'm sure they're thinking that way.
Victor Robles is back in the mix here. He hasn't played since Game 2 of the NLDS for the Nationals. How does that change things for them? Honestly, I'm kind of happy to see Michael A. Taylor out of there. He's been nothing but very good.
Yeah, I mean, I think the offense they got out of Michael A. Taylor was a little bit of a surprise, but, you know, a very pleasant surprise for them. They do feel like he could handle the defensive side of center field as well as Robles, but it's just another really good young player to throw out there, and we'll kind of see how he reacts to this stage. But, you know, I think it's just another guy to contend with for the Cardinals, and that's probably the last thing they need right now.
What do you expect that atmosphere to be like there? They have a 2-0 lead. They've never hosted an NLCS before. You expect that place to be crazy tonight?
Yeah, I think it will be crazy. You know, it's the first time they've ever gotten to experience this. I've never sensed that the Nationals had like this hardcore following, you know, like a Cardinals or some of the other, you know, Yankees, Red Sox. I don't think it's like that. But I do think the novelty of it, the whole town is kind of getting behind it and really, really, you know, it is going to be loud. But you also see what's interesting about these playoff games, if you look at it, home field really doesn't mean anything. Even if you look at the numbers and break it down, elimination games, non-elimination games, you know, road teams win about as much as home teams do. So for whatever reason, baseball just doesn't seem to be that kind of sport where the emotion of it sweeps you along to victories. So in a way, maybe it's the team that stays more composed and kind of keeps the crowd quiet that sometimes maybe finds a little edge that way.
The Cardinals have not been a great power team this season, and that's sort of manifested again here in the postseason. They've only hit 4 home runs so far. There's been a lot of discussion over the weekend that it seems to be pretty widespread that people think there's something different about this baseball that they're using as opposed to what was being used during the regular season or the last couple of years? Do you think there's much to that?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it, right? I mean, we've talked about how great the pitching is, but, you know, Mike Schilt kind of let slip in his press conference, I think it was 2 days ago, that the analytics department of the Cardinals were saying that the balls are traveling 4.5 feet shorter. That's not hugely significant because most home runs, if they're going to go, are not going to make it by that margin, but it is pretty significant. It's interesting to me. It also points out just kind of how ridiculous this league is in a way that they can't control, you know, their equipment. I mean, I know we saw Deflategate with the NFL, but for the most part, it seems pretty straightforward with other leagues. Either baseball is, you know, it doesn't have enough control over the manufacturing of these things, or they're manipulating it. Either one is a little bit strange to me. And I do think there could be something to that. There's just too many players talking about it for me to think that it's just a complete, you know, figment of their imagination.
Mark Saxon, always great to have you with us. Thanks so much. Have fun in D.C., and we will talk to you soon.
All right, gentlemen. Take it easy.
See you later. That is our Cardinal Insider from The Athletic, Mark Saxon, here on 101 ESPN. Despite the Cardinals trailing 2-0, it ain't over till it's over. We'll talk about their struggles and how they can right the ship tonight, next on 101 ESPN. That's Grant and Danny from 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C., and they hit it right on the head. The Cardinals fans didn't have an awful lot to get loud about, and they were the normal BFIB. I think probably the secondary market really took a bath on Friday night, because a lot of secondary brokers buy tickets with the expectation that people are going to want to get in late, and especially those lower-level seats, those are sold. But if people don't want to go because it's cold and windy, they aren't going to buy those seats. And I have to believe those tickets were sold, but they just didn't. And not every seat was sold. It wasn't a sellout. But I would think the secondary market took a bath. But yes, the Cardinals crowd on Friday wasn't loud, and then on Saturday, you get no hit for 7 innings.
It's kind of hard to get excited about anything, right? I mean, it happened back-to-back games where you got these guys carrying no-hitters deep into the ball game, and that will suck the energy out of a place. So that doesn't make the BFIB any worse. And it doesn't shine badly upon them. It shines badly upon the offense not being able to get anything going. It shines great upon the pitching staff of the Nationals, who've been ridiculous so far. And I do think that there comes to a point, while I know every individual is going up there and you're trying to take your best AB. Everybody's prepared. You got a scouting report. You know what's going to happen. But especially after it happens game one against Anibal Sanchez, you're sitting there and it's the third, fourth inning against Max Scherzer. You see zero up on the scoreboard. You're pressing. You're pressing big time. You're just trying to make something happen, and then all of a sudden that gets you out of your game even more. You couple in the fact that Scherzer is just flat out nasty, you give him some shadows to work with, and you didn't have a chance. It was a recipe for disaster the entire time.
Look, at any time an offense isn't doing much of anything, a crowd gets apathetic, and it's just hard to get into it. If that's the discussion, is why wasn't the St. Louis crowd louder? Well, that's it. It's really difficult to get loud if all you can see is your own pitcher striking out the other team. You got to see some offense, too.
I think to your exact point, Ronj, I don't think the Braves fans were super loud in Game 5. I felt like they were out of it for some reason or another. Why? Because the Cardinals put them out of it and put them out of it very quickly with a 10 spot in the first inning. You react to what you see, and you've seen nothing to react to.
But also, I do think there's probably a little bit of, again, I'm not sure it's apathy, but maybe there is some disbelief about the Cardinals if you're a Cardinals fan and where they are. So maybe you're just kind of waiting to see how deep they go, how well the series starts. Considering you have been there before, considering this team is not too far removed from being in an LCS and really not far removed from winning a World Series, it's not like this is a once in 100 years event where everybody's going to buy that ticket, right? Because I got to be in the building for an NLCS. I mean, this is a little bit different. So I think there's maybe not everybody, because clearly there are still a lot of people in the ballpark. But going into the series, I think there's a little bit of, well, let's just see how this goes first before I buy some tickets.
Now, tonight, I know the Cardinals are all over the analytics as far as their offense is concerned. They've brought in Jeff Albert, and they've kind of given him the overseer title of the of their offense. I don't know that you'd develop an approach against Steven Strasburg, though. Strasburg seems to be one of those guys where it's see the ball, hit the ball, and maybe the less interference in your mind, the better off that you would be.
Yeah, you just kind of react. You're going to go. So that's one thing, too, though. I totally believe, like, you got to this point because you have a routine. And the Cardinals' routine is you're going to sit down. You're going to break down the pitcher. You're going to talk through it. You're going to have your analytics. You're going to have your numbers. You're going to have the tendencies that Strasburg has. I don't think that I would just throw everything out the window and say, all right, boys, just go see it and hit it. We're going to bang everything because you're here because you had a routine. But at some point, you do need to simplify things. And he is he's great. And he's had a really good postseason so far. They're unbeaten in the three games that he's pitched in, and he's pitched very well. He's striking out the world when he's out there. I do believe, though, still, that Steven Strasburg is one of those guys. If you can get to him early, you can get him off his game. And then he'll be trying to throw the mad ball past you, and it ends up belt high. Like, I really believe that you can get to him. But you got to get to them early. This is a crowd that is already going to be jumping. Mm-hmm. They're going to be excited. They're going to be crazy. They're going to be happy, jubilated. They're up 2-0. They're two wins away from the World Series. You got to be able to quiet that quickly. And the Cardinals did make a change. Jose Martinez is in there. Matt Carpenter is not, hoping to spark a little something. But it starts at the top. And I know Dexter Fowler has taken some of that upon him. He said, hey, look, I haven't been getting it done either. I'll take the blame for that. But nobody's getting it done right now. Tonight is the night. I mean, Dexy's got to get on. Colton's got to get something going. I still look at the big dogs, though, and say, I need you, Goldie.
Yep.
Marcelo Ozuna has had a lot of success against Steven Strasburg and has seen him quite a bit with his time with the Marlins. I need you. Like, you are the guys that need to carry us. And I realize that it hasn't necessarily been the case throughout the year. It's been balanced offense top to bottom. While inconsistent, it's been balanced. This is where the big guys carry you.
And I don't know if you guys have seen it, but there was a minor lineup change. I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe it was a mistake early, but so Martinez is batting fifth and Molina sixth, but the original lineup that came out had him swapped. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but it is just something to notice. Here's what's going to be difficult for them tonight, and this has been well documented. The Cardinals have had a very difficult time with the off-speed stuff. Well, Steven Strasburg this season is throwing that off-speed stuff way more than he used to. That curveball is up like 10% in terms of how much he throws it this season compared to what he did last season. He's throwing the changeup more this year than he did last year, and the fastball is down. It's certainly down from the way he was throwing 3 years ago. But that's what's going to be difficult for the Cardinals because they're a really good fastball hitting team and they have had difficulty with guys who are throwing the off-speed stuff. Well, for Strasburg, he's upped the off-speed pitches. So that alone is going to be difficult for this team. So I'm going to be really curious to see how they attack that.
And he's only walked 56 in 211 innings, struck out 251 in 209 innings, struck out 251, walked only 56. So the Cardinals will have their hands full. And by the way, Dexter Fowler has a 273 career average against Strasburg and a 333 career on base. So hopefully he will find himself, and like he did in Game 5 against Atlanta, draw that leadoff walk and get things started.
And as I mentioned with Mark Saxon about that, I know a lot of people are upset that he's in the lineup again, and especially that he's in the lineup and batting leadoff. Their thought process is they think he's taken good at-bats, about as good as anybody else is taking, because nobody's been taking good at-bats, really, over the last couple
relative,
of days.
Right?
Yeah, so it's relative, but they do think he's working the count, he's getting deep, and they're hoping that eventually that's going to turn into some kind of offense.
Coming up in the Fast Lane, NLCS Game 3, less than 2 hours away. Plus, we have a loser in our weekly NFL picks, and it's not meat. That's all next in your Hot Topics of the Day on 101 ESPN. Mike Ryder's having nachos tonight, much like the Blues. Nacho Monday.
I see what you did. I was wondering where the hell you were going with that. But yeah. I get it because like they thought they had the game in hand. I mean, they were winning 2-0, which we all know is the most dangerous lead that you can have in hockey.
Yes, it is.
And to use Mike Ryder again, he said he got in the car, he started driving here, he knew they were up 2-0, he walks in the building, they lost 3-2. Bing, bang, boom. Happened pretty darn quickly for the Blues as it goes away. The Islanders were able to tie it up and won in overtime. Sucks.
Not so scored, Monday. Though. Vladdy Tarasenko scored a
yes,
goal.
Yes, he did. And Shen keeps doing his thing, which is lovely. So those are positives. I guess a negative at this point, and not that I expect it to continue to be a negative, though, has to be what we're seeing out of Jordan Binnington. It just hasn't looked fantastic. And I know it's unfair because the bar he set was so incredibly high. I kind of expect greatness out of him every single time out. And I guess that's not really fair.
No, it's not. But I still think he's going to be fine, I think. I think he's got the right attitude to be able to figure this out. And when it comes to the struggles Jake Allen had throughout his career here, do you think that has anything to do with ability? Because I don't. I think no. It has mostly to do with whatever's going on upstairs with him. And I believe, and I guess I could be wrong and be proven wrong as the season goes on here, but I don't really have much reason to think Jordan Binnington doesn't have the mental side of this right. And I guess we'll see here in the coming months.
It was a busy Columbus Day in the National Hockey League. Buffalo shut out Dallas 4-0. Colorado leads Washington 4-0 as they start the second period. Boston over Anaheim 4-2. Minnesota won their first game of the year. They were 2-0 victors over the Anaheim Ducks. And, of course, the Blues lose. So that's kind of frustrating. Tonight here on 101 ESPN, we've got Game 3 between the Cardinals and the Washington Nationals. Flaherty against Strasburg and Jose Martinez in the lineup hitting fifth for the Cardinals as Matt Carpenter exits the lineup.
See, that's going to be a lot better. You know what I'd like to see also? First of all, I would love to see just tons of offense. I think that would be fun. Strasburg on the mound, chances are that's probably not going to be the case. An early lead would be great, but you just mentioned the guy that's going to be coming off the bench. I'd love to see Matt Carpenter get up in a situation and do something like spark something. I really like Matt Carpenter. I think he's a good dude. He's been a great player for the Cardinals. Watching him up to bat recently has been tough, man. He is even the balls that he swings at, it just looks like it's not all there. I don't know if he's got something that's still ailing him or what, but Matt Carpenter just has not looked right.
No, maybe because during the regular season and at the end in September, he was doing really well coming off the bench. Maybe that's what he needs to be doing right now. Maybe for whatever reason, that just is a comfortable spot for him. Certainly, you would think he'd rather be starting than coming off the bench, but maybe it is a good spot for him at this point.
Monday Night Football, the Packers will host the Lions, and we have fun stuff coming up in November, November 14th. Buds and Bourbon at the Ameristar Casino. You can get tickets now by going to our website, 101ESPN.com. We're all going to be there. It's going to be fun.
Hopefully you've already come to one of the Buds and Bourbon events that we've done. If not, they get better and better every year. Last year was fantastic. This year is going to get be even better. And come hang out. Come hang out with us. Have a good time. We'll even let you take a picture with meat if you want to. You can really size them up. Whatever you want to do.
Well,
speaking of meat,
I would bring a tape measure.
Oh,
if
yeah,
you
he
want.
Is right here. He is, in fact.
Oh, so we've got a degenerate loser this week.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, what happened? Oh, is it me? Please, oh, it was
bad.
But
it was terrible. As a matter of fact, we all agreed that we wouldn't even bother with the Dallas Jets game.
Yeah.
So we all just
obviously.
Yeah. So, and the Jets did beat Dallas.
Damn Jets.
But Ronj won with 6 games picked this week.
Yeah, we had a bad week.
We got to get you gambling, Ronj. You've been doing pretty well.
No, I feel like I'll do really well if there are no stakes. I mean, yeah, I get well.
Let's put money on it then instead of stakes.
I don't know, man. I kind of like my streak that I've been on. I feel like if there's something,
nothing.
Pride.
You could.
I haven't had to
hats.
Do anything yet except make Randy dinner once.
Yeah. So BT and Meat each had 5 correct, and I had 4. 4 out of 11, I think.
That
was a bad week.
4-7. It was tough. So, and by the way, we threw out the Bengals-Baltimore game, so that makes it 4 out of 10. And then the Jets game, 4 out of 9. So, okay, so it was only 4-5.
Yeah, so it's not as bad as you think. So, and by the way, Meat's punishment, can we start there?
I think so.
Yeah.
Meat's punishment from last week was supposed to be that every guest we had on, he was supposed to tell them that he loved them.
But it wouldn't fit because he's just involved with every interview.
Yeah, so I think we're putting that back in.
Yeah, let's throw that back into the hat and have him redraw, you know, because it doesn't really make sense to have Meat pop on at the end and go, hey, I love you. Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. That's going to be a punishment
for one of us someday.
So he's going to pick a different one. Do you want to start there?
Let's do that.
All right, let's start with Meats.
Come on.
Okay.
All right, so I will go first here. I'm going to...
Just for a visual, he's putting his big old paw in his even bigger hat.
What we got? Okay, what do we got? What do we got? Buy lunch for the show. Damn it.
Probably another one that needs to buy lunch for the show.
Yeah, it looks like the White Castle for the Fastlane.
All right.
Maybe. Yeah. Probably just bring a bag of nuts
in. Do you want to draw again, Meat, or you feel good about that? Are we just going
to
let people draw?
You don't have to do that tomorrow, though, by the way, because our friends at Potbelly are bringing lunch by.
Oh, they are? About,
maybe they, maybe you shouldn't have said anything, and it could have been from Meat.
All right.
Okay. Oh, Dustin from the Wingnut says you do owe them beer.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I don't even know who this guy is. He's just some crazy guy.
Talked to you earlier and said, yeah, I know Dustin.
I don't know who Dustin is.
Dustin, text in again.
He's full of BS.
I don't know. He should be full of BLs. You should be buying some Bud Lights.
My punishment, gentlemen, is to write a poem about why I love my teammates and read it on the air.
One poem or one for each person?
One poem for everybody, right?
Okay.
But everybody's name has to be included?
Yeah. Can we alter another one? Can it be
a rap?
You
want it to be a rap? Yeah. Well, I think we should give Randy creative license. Okay. Whatever he wants to do with this. Like, if in fact you want to make a Randy
poetry,
rap out of it. Yeah,
so
it is.
Whatever you want to do.
Let me think about this from an artistic standpoint and see if we can pull it off. But yeah, I like the idea. So I'll do it, yeah.
All right. I think that's great. So Meat has to buy us all lunch, and Randy's got to write a poem for all of us.
Okay.
And not a jerky one, too. It has to be like a nice one, why he likes us.
Mm-hmm. Do we get to pick the lunch?
I doubt it. No. I think the Meat should just show up with
Okay, so Happy Meals. Boy toy or you?
I don't really want a boy toy.
I do.
You can usually choose between, right?
How about McRibs for everybody?
I still never had a McRib.
Maybe this is the week.
We get a text from the 314 says your punishments are lame. If you have more punishments you'd love to get thrown into the hat, go ahead, text them in, 65780, hotshot text line. That would be great. We're always looking for ideas.
From smart people.
Yes, yes. The I love you one, I think, is going to be really funny, but it has to be one of us three that's interviewing somebody.
Yes, like, no doubt about it.
Whoever it is. Like, John Clayton, hey, you know I love you. Anyways, what about those Chiefs?
If you think that's lame, do you know how awkward it is to tell somebody that you don't know you love them?
Yeah.
That's an awkward thing to do.
It is awkward. Hell, I mean, how old are you, Ronj? 40-ish?
40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you said I love you like twice. Maybe.
I did.
Tomorrow.
Oh, in my life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard.
That's true, yeah.
It's hard.
Nobody wants to.
So sad.
Those appear to be your hot topics of the day. Did anything else happen? Should we check?
Well, did we talk about Meats Chiefs losing two in a row and how
this
guy is falling in general? Because that's not great for them.
No,
and wait
it's
a minute.
Not.
Somebody texted in getting shot by the Riz show. Isn't that one of our punishments
anyway?
There.
Yeah, it's in our basket. Well, and the whole thing is we can't just go ahead and completely just take what they do. I'll tell you right now, I am way more behind any sort of physical punishment than I am having to sing the Divinals I Touch Myself live on air, okay? I'd much rather take a shot to the back or do they get shot in the butt? Is that what they do?
Yeah, I think it's in the...
I almost phrased that. The music would help. Yeah, it was really good. I'd rather take a shot, though, than have to do something like that. But it is what it is.
Can we wrap up by me making you guys mad?
Belly button rings, boys, from the 636.
Oh, there we go.
I can't wait to be mad.
Okay. According to ESPN, the schedule for both the AL and NL Championship Series could be altered because of the forecast of heavy rains in New York on Wednesday, sources told ESPN, with the possibility that ALCS Game 4 between Houston and the Yankees is a washout for Wednesday night. Major League Baseball is considering moving a potential NLCS Game 5 between Washington and the Cardinals to that night, sources said. The NLCS game is currently scheduled to start at 3:08 Central Time. Right here on 101 ESPN. But on days there's only one game, MLB prefers to have the game in prime time. So that would mean that we would have to do a whole show on Wednesday and they would air the game at night.
You know, they should just put a roof on every stadium.
It's a good idea.
I've made plans already for Wednesday. So, you know, fingers crossed. We have a few more texts, by the way. Meat has to bark like a dog off mic during an interview. So the whole interview is Meat in the back barking like a dog.
Entertaining?
Yeah, I think it's good.
Bulletproof, is a big dog or a small dog?
Bulletproof small. Cup shooting range. I don't know about that.
I don't know. That's...
Pepper spray. Pepper spray, anybody? Has anybody been pepper sprayed here?
I have not.
I haven't either.
Meat?
No.
I'm wondering. Loser should have to do the Crown Candy Kitchen Shake Challenge. Me and Mike Ryder have actually done that one.
That is miserable.
Well, it's called a punishment.
And that would be for the winner.
End each sentence with dude or bro. During an interview, that could be pretty funny, bro.
That would be really funny, dude.
Be cool, dude.
Dude, bro.
Those are your hot topics of the day on 101 ESPN. Coming up, what are the keys for a Cardinal victory tonight? That's next on 101 ESPN. Cardinal manager Mike Schill yesterday to Fox Sports Midwest. By the way, he just forgot. It's not that he doesn't know. He just forgot
what?
That it wasn't all sunshine lollipops for the Cardinals during the season.
No, it wasn't. He
came up with flowers or something like that.
Yeah, he probably should have broken into song and dance, and I think that Jim Hayes would have helped him with that.
Yeah.
And everything we're is together. We haven't used that in a while.
No.
We need some sunshine and lollipops in our lives. And here's a reason, guys, that I have sunshine and lollipops going on today is it can't get any worse. How much worse can it get offensively? You've had four hits, one run. That one run was gifted to you with Michael A. Taylor misplaying a ball in center field. And I think, actually, after Scherzer, it gets easier with Strasburg, which is crazy to say because Strasburg's been so good. You don't have to deal with shadows. Night game overall. You've tweaked your lineup a little bit. And the Cardinals have played some good baseball and won some big games on the road. This is a pretty big one here.
There is one way it can get worse.
How?
You could actually be no hit.
Yeah, but it would still be the same end result. You know what I mean? So who cares at this point?
I don't know. A loss is a loss, right? But I guess there would be something about being no hit into the eighth inning and then no hit through six. Or was it through five plus?
It was more, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's right. What, like 6 2/3,
yeah,
something like that.
Broke it up in the eighth.
And then in the third game, you actually don't get any hits. I think that would be worse. It would just be insult to injury.
You might be the first team to go to the NL. Well, probably not the first team. I bet this happened. You might be one of few teams that go to the NLCS and then fire your hitting coach
before game four.
It ain't working.
Now, one thing about Steven Strasburg, he has been an innings machine in the second half of the season. As a matter of fact, if you go back to the All-Star break, he's only had three outings where he didn't make it to the sixth inning. He has been a guy that has thrown a lot of innings, but they get him out of there right around that 100 pitch mark like a lot of guys. So if you can drive up that pitch count, and by the way, the Cardinals were able to do that in his third to last start of the regular season. He threw 99 pitches. He allowed two runs in five innings. If you can get the pitch count up, you can get Strasburg out of the game and get to that bullpen. That's another thing the Cardinals haven't been able to do yet, obviously, without any hits. You haven't been able to take advantage of a deficient Washington bullpen.
No, you haven't. I wonder if Davey Martinez will be more inclined in a game like this to push him past that 100-pitch mark and go a little bit more eyeball test due to the fact that this is a huge dagger game. Like, if the Nationals win this one, the numbers right now aren't good anyhow when it comes to coming back from a series losing the first two home games. Hasn't happened in the NLCS, as we've talked about, since 85 when the Cardinals did it and rattled them off against the Dodgers. So I wonder if he'd push him past that. And I still believe, a lot like against Scherzer, there is that fine line of, yes, you want to work counts, and yes, you want to get him out of the ball game, and you want to get the pitch count up, and you want to make sure that's elevated, which, by the way, was hard to do against Scherzer because he was throwing strikes. Like, he was just pumping it in there. But you also know against him, you're going to get up pitch to hit, likely in an at-bat, like one pitch to actually do something on. I really find that to be a hard balance when you're looking to score some runs and create some offense.
Yeah, so you're probably not going to have the rally in the traditional sense where it's single, double, double, like that sort of thing. You might be able to manufacture something, get a guy on base, ground out to the right side, then get a base hit or something. But because it's been difficult to do that for them in this series, and it's certainly been difficult to hit the home run, I'm not exactly sure how they're going to get their offense tonight. And of course, it being baseball, weird stuff happens. So maybe this is just one of those nights where they explode for home runs. You don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem likely, but I guess it could happen.
It didn't seem likely that they were going to put up a 10 spot against the Braves in the first inning.
No.
And Fulton Evich, who had dominated them in the first game, that they were able to put it on him. I don't know. So I'm with you on the randomness thing. I got a stat for you guys, okay?
Good.
We all like stats. And this one is daunting while not impossible, all right? Teams that are down 0-2 in a series, 46 have won Game 3. And by the way, this is a 7-game series. So 46 of them have won Game 3. Only 12 of those have won the series. So only 12 teams have done what the Cardinals are trying to do. That's not impossible. 12 have done it. You know, could be 13.
And the Cardinals have been involved in a lot of those series.
Yeah, so this is great. Ish.
I wouldn't say it's as good as it could be.
Another daunting stat
for
you,
by lining.
Yeah, another daunting stat. Strasburg, in his career, in 6 postseason games, has a 1.32 earned run average. In 34 innings, he has 45 strikeouts and 5 walks.
It's pretty good. Let's go positive side, though, because the guy on the bump for the Cardinals has a 0.91 in the second half and has been damn near unhittable. Get the dude one. I'd prefer 3 or 4, but get him one. That's one thing that the Cardinals have not done a great job of, is getting run support for Jack Flaherty. He's got, like, nothing. I think they're 17-16 in his starts.
Yeah, right. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's got to be better.
Tonight is why the National League is so awesome, because if you have a scoreless game in the 7th or 8th inning, what do you do?
The Cardinals, I think, would be more inclined in trusting their bullpen to, and especially the way the offense has struggled. Like, I don't know how you can let Jack Flaherty take an AB in a big spot, but it is going to be a very interesting question down the stretch.
Yeah, that's where I differ when it comes to why the National League is awesome. I'd rather not have to have that decision, because it's tough enough as it is to get a pitcher like you have in Flaherty. I would just like to let him be out there. And hopefully the rest of your offense can do something.
Is vanilla ice cream your favorite?
Oh, I don't think the American League is vanilla ice cream.
I
think it's
ice
exciting.
Cream question.
Yeah, no, I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as exciting as you think it is. But it's okay. It's a matter of opinion.
I like having to think about it. It's, you know, you say, oh, what does he do here? You follow along.
I like sprinkles.
You can still follow along without that decision.
Crumbled
well, but
up Oreo.
Think with the manager. If the manager doesn't have to think,
there's plenty you can complain about with managerial decisions in AL baseball.
That's because of stupid people, though.
And interleague.
That's true.
No, I mean, just watching American League baseball, two teams against each other, there's plenty. You still have the pitching changes you have to worry about. Should they let this guy go an extra inning? Should they save the bullpen? Happens all the time.
Go on.
Sounds scintillating.
Yeah. No, either way, everybody's got their thing they like.
Trust
some
me.
People like good things, some people don't. It doesn't matter.
I love the DH. It's way better.
It doesn't matter. On the flip side, by the way, Michael A. Taylor, who's been very good, he is not in there tonight. He'll be another bat off the bench. He was hitting 300 so far in the postseason. Victor Robles is back from the hamstring. That will shore up their defense quite a bit in the outfield. You're assuming they held him back this long. He hadn't played since Game 2 of the NLDS. So you'd have to believe that he's as close to 100% as he's going to get. So the Cardinals aren't likely to be gifted anything. The Washington Nationals, a lot like the Cardinals, were very sound defensively throughout the year, and they get a little bit better with Robles out there also.
We are about 20 minutes away from the pregame for the Cardinals and the Nationals here on 101 ESPN. We're going to head down the stretch with what we learned today. That's next on 101 ESPN. Well, guys, I learned today that not only is Mike Maddux a good golfer, he had 2 holes in one today, the Cardinal pitching coach. He was golfing with John Mozeliak, and Boog Shambi tweets a photo of the scorecard. Mozeliak firing a 36 on the back 9 to finish with an 82. Maddux with a 72. Mo with an 82. Guys need to spend more time on baseball and less time on golf.
Look, I think that you could be very well-rounded and balanced. Mike Maddux's pitching staff has been pretty darn good. So he can keep playing. think that that's fair. And I also learned it's holes in one, not hole in ones.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, this was at the Army-Navy course that they played. Apparently a really good course in Arlington.
Apparently they also called another reporter I saw on Twitter actually called the club to verify it. And it was, in fact, verified that the two holes in one did, in fact, happen.
Mine is along Randy's line here. I learned today that there are still people who believe everybody should show up to the ballpark at 6 a.m. for a 6 p.m. game.
Oh, yeah. Tony
did.
Got to
get ready.
Tony did.
I mean, you need to be in there looking at video for 12 hours, don't you?
I think that you might end up burning out if you
concentrate on baseball.
Sometimes you need a release.
Why are you doing those commercials? Concentrate on baseball.
Got to make that money. I need that. I also learned today, guys, that a two-goal lead is the hardest thing in hockey to protect.
Most dangerous lead.
My goodness. Because the Blues had that.
Yep.
Had the game in hand against the Islanders. Thought, bing, bang, boom, they're going to shut this thing down in the third period. And then, bing, bang, boom, they lost. So, you know, learned something today.
I was frustrated.
It happens.
I think they're going to be okay.
Let's Hopefully. Go Blues. Oh, and Tarasenko scored a goal.
Someday Thomas will score one.
Yeah. Ron, what'd you learn today?
I just told you. I learned there are people who still...
You
know.
Good. That's still... Are that, cause
there's a lot of it.
Taking a shot at me.
No, I was not.
I'm old school.
You don't believe that. Come on, Randy.
Okay, I don't.
You're not that old.
I don't believe it. I'm a show-and-go kind of guy.
That's right.
Oh, man, I don't believe that either. I think that you're the perfect amount of prepared kind of guy. Is your work done? Are you ready? That's the only question. If I was a manager, that's the only question I would have for my guys. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
If you tell me you're ready, if you did everything that you needed to do, then you do you. Get here by the time I put on the board. And if you're ready, let's go to war.
Big Sis, what'd you learn today?
Well, about 10 minutes ago, I learned that NLCS Game 4 could be moved due to rain for the Cardinals, be bumped into primetime, which means that Major League Baseball cares absolutely nothing about the fast lane.
It's true.
Actually,
unless maybe they want to hear it.
It would be Game 5, right?
Yeah, a potential Game 5 if necessary.
Yeah, it's going to happen. I mean, the Cardinals are going to win a game. You don't just get swept in the LCS. Like, doesn't happen. Ain't going to happen. Can't happen. Won't happen.
Okay, good.
Thanks to Jack Flaherty tonight. I got another one for you, just a random thing. This isn't something I learned. This is a bold prediction that we can play back tomorrow if, in fact, it comes true, which it probably won't. We were talking about Ronge. By the way, I love that. I learned that Ronge loves vanilla ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say something quickly. The thing that he hates to see, that Jack Flaherty, that pitcher hitting, Jack's going to drive in a run and win the game by himself. That's what's going to happen.
Hey, I hope
That's
he
bold,
does.
Eh?
That would be awesome if that happens. Yeah, you don't believe it.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
This is a major league pitcher that had 10 hits.
10 hits. 10 of them. And honestly, every time I thought I was going to get a hit, a big one. And Jack will. Strauss is going to throw him a cement mixer curveball with two strikes that pops up in the zone. He's going to snap hook it down the third base line and drive in a run.
I hope you're right, man.
Write all that down.
You know what I just learned?
What?
There's apparently there's a Missouri Western...
Mm-hmm.
And a Missouri Western State?
Yeah.
What?
How about that?
How far West. Apart is
Sebby Savard went to Missouri Western. A football power.
Okay. Anyway, I'm looking at the XFL draft pool, and that's how I found out. Seems redundant.
You know anybody that went to Western State?
No. I didn't know that. That's what I learned today. Big Sis, you got any more?
Yeah, from the Hot Shots text line 65780, today I learned this Jordan Binnington guy is a total sham.
Holy crap.
Yeah. The real ones will happen soon. It'll happen.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
People forget quickly.
Yeah, he'll win 16 postseason games again.
Today I learned that people who eat chili the day that it's made have no taste and are most likely Vipers fans.
Caw-caw! Caw-caw! It's better the next day, like when it marinates a little
always.
Bit. But if you make it, like, you have to have a little bit.
Yep. Great job by our producer today, Brad Barnes. BT.
Shilty, there are people saying Strasburg's going to no-hit you today. You damn right.
You betcha. Ronge.
Well, go get him, Jack.
Mike Ryder is always doing a fantastic job as our board operator. and a busy day here on 101 ESPN. The Blues do fall on Long Island to the Islanders 3-2. And we have Cardinal baseball against the Nationals, Game 3 of the National League Championship Series coming up, the pregame in just moments. And afterwards, Anthony Stalter will be with you. Stick around, call in, tune in. For all of us, until tomorrow at 2, good night, St. Louis.
As prices keep creeping up, your entertainment budget doesn't have to take a hit. Live One Plus has all the music you love, ad-free, for only $3.99 per month. Dive into Live One's massive library of songs, listen to curated playlists, or create your own. Check out exclusive artist-hosted stations and do it all for the best price in streaming. Lock in a Live One Plus membership for just $3.99 per month now, and you'll not only beat inflation, you'll get all your favorite music ad-free. Check out liveone.com/bestmusic for details.
Cough and cold season is here. Introducing Ricola Max Throat Care, Ricola's most powerful drop yet. It's the best of Swiss nature wrapped around a powerful liquid menthol center for maximum relief from your worst cough and sore throat. Maximum nature for maximum relief. Try the new Ricola Max now, available in the cold and cough aisle. Ricola. It's in our nature.